this was worse than 50 Shades.
Yeah.
Is this some kind of, is this a cosmic punishment? Were we too mean to Snow Queen Ice Dragon? Or should we have been more respectful? And are we being punished? Is this a pun? Red. 10,000 BC was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. Movie in America.
Yes, hello. My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with two of the apparently 75 secretaries at Gray Incorporated, or whatever it was. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Biting my lip.
And Camila Adams.
I was trying to think of a Robert Palmer song. I can't.
That is what they look like. Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey, we gave it a 26. For the most relevant comparison, we gave The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 24 and a third.
We
like this a little bit better. That's probably just because Breaking Dawn Part 1 is, you know,
half a movie.
Half of a late movie in a story we're not following.
Well, also, at least Christian didn't sparkle.
Mm. So, right.
I keep, every time I read, I keep on calling him Dorian, as in Dorian Gray. Right.
Better book.
I haven't read either, but yes.
I've actually read that book, and I famously don't read.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Yeah.
The movie version is also amazing.
Which is that?
So it's from the 40s. Angela Lansbury's in it, and it's all in black and white except for the picture.
Interesting.
It's really cool.
Huh. Let me talk about an unrelated problem I have. Many of our listeners know about Sleep No More. Both of you, at least,
aware
of Sleep No More.
Yes.
Sleep No More closed in January, I want to say, after 15 years. And that was hard for me. And I've only been there three times. But I was relying on its presence as a calming, comforting influence in my life. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what's going on with me, if I really snapped and needed to, I could go there any day. I could get up and start driving and be at Sleep No More that night. Like, I needed that reality. And it was okay because the same company had made a new one called Life and Trust, which was partially the picture of Dorian Gray. It was Faust crossed with the picture of Dorian Gray. And I went once, and it was good and very intriguing, but it turns out that company hadn't paid rent in years, which you generally need to do for vast spaces in the heart of Manhattan. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so that closed unceremoniously after only a couple of months.
Oh, wow.
And now there's nothing, and I feel very unmoored.
I'm sorry.
Aww. Yeah. That's I don't know. Like, if I snapped, what would I do?
Yeah, what is that?
I guess Disney World, but I can't drive there.
Not in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
There's no, by the time you got there, I would imagine your crisis would be over.
Oh, I don't know.
or gotten worse.
My age, my industry, the state of the world, I could have some long-running crises coming up. You find me playing Baloo at the Magic Kingdom in a couple of years, don't be surprised.
I love that it's Baloo.
I was trying to figure out who I would... It feels like the costume I would fit. You have to be the right height.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's divided by height.
So this is us not wanting to talk about...
10,000 BC.
Yeah.
I don't really have...
How, why, and what? How?
Okay, so one good thing I can say about it is that I feel like this is the perfect movie in a my teacher didn't feel like teaching today. So we watched 10,000 BC in history class.
And then he goes through everything wrong with it. Because my experience of watching this was Colin perpetually looking things up and going, well, that didn't exist yet. Just every single time a new item was introduced, Colin would, yeah, that wasn't invented until around 2000 BC, yeah, right?
That was the running theme I was seeing with people talking about it online. It was like, it's wildly inaccurate, but it's fun.
And it's not, though.
It's not fun at all. That's the thing.
If it were fun, I would not care.
What does it matter? Right. If it's have them fight dinosaurs and aliens if you want, if we're having a good time.
Yeah.
But it's so dull.
Yeah. I mean, he does fight dinosaurs and aliens. You're not exaggerating.
Aliens?
Because the one group of people who show up, they're like, they're either from beyond the stars or Atlantis. This is like a History Channel show.
I must have been looking at my phone at that point, as I was for much of the film. And we even said it, it's 10,000 BC. 10,000 BC is the film. It came out in 2008. It happened. This is a real thing. It was the number one movie in America. And boy, is it. The only place I see this frequently referenced is when which is not what I have, is Letterboxd lists that are like all the movies in chronological order of when they are set.
Sure.
It's always like sixth.
Right, yeah.
Quest for Fire is before it, and Clan of the Cave Bear.
Have you seen Quest for Fire?
No, apparently this is heavily inspired by.
Because I wanted Quest for Fire, I think. I've never seen Quest for Fire, but I'm sure going to be watching it soon, because that's what I wanted this movie to be. I wanted it to be prehistoric people fighting for survival, and isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wanted what the trailer promises. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I'm going to edit in that trailer. It's like, that's like 25 seconds of growls and drums.
Yeah, put that in.
We always believed we were alone in this world.
This one will lead our people to a new land.
You have a great destiny.
Avalon!
You are the one we were waiting for. You will free our people.
As one! Not a god!
Because when you watch the trailer, you're like, oh, Gladiator, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And I was like, great.
Yeah.
Let's do that. So much of this movie is walking and talking. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you can tell that this is in the wake of Lord of the Rings being a big cultural force. It's like, oh, we need to have myths and legends, and we need we need to take a journey and amass people as we go.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, interesting stuff.
Instead of anything.
I mean, it really is so boring. I could not stay awake through the first time I watched it.
And I think another thing that bugged me is the sophisticated language. Like, yes, I get it, you know, this is a movie, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there's just a time and place. I think we would have just done better if we just had a narrator. And just
completely agree.
Like, all the way through. And just not had them speaking, like, regular language. Because it kept pulling me out of the whole, I mean, among other things. But, yeah.
We do Apocalypto?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
That is so much better.
I know, and I hate how much this movie made me think about Apocalypto.
And how much
affectionately.
I didn't appreciate it then.
I mean, this is just the bad Apocalypto.
It's just bad.
Which, now I gotta look up my score for Apocalypto.
While you're doing that, I'll tell you what happens, but not really, because I couldn't have been bothered to say when.
When?
There's some guys, they hunt some mammoths. Some bad guys come and kidnap some of them, including the hot girl. The one guy likes the hot girl, so he goes after the bad guys. He gets stuck in a hole with a saber-toothed tiger and frees it. Then he meets some different guys, and the tiger shows up and doesn't kill him because tigers remember the helpers, I guess. So the other guys think the main guy is pre-Jesus or something, so he leads a whole bunch of guys to the bad guy's town, which is fake Egypt several millennia early. There's a rebellion, the hot girl dies, but an old woman lends her a soul or some shit. Humanity continues on, which is a dubious move at best.
Well done. Like,
the end.
30 seconds.
And you covered everything that I can remember.
Well, there's the business about the main character, Rain Delay, wants to get the spear so he can impress his girlfriend, Violet. But it doesn't count because he didn't kill the mammoth in the right way or some. That's like
Wait,
the first
Cliff Curtis's spear. His like the mentor, Cliff Curtis.
Yeah.
The great hunter.
Yeah.
Who just gave it to him. And that wasn't the right thing to do. He needed to kill
He needed to kill the mammoth, which he did, but it wasn't in the right way.
Oh.
And sure. So he briefly gave it back. Like for half an hour, I tried to pay attention.
Me too.
And that's what was happening. So I was like, okay, this is not, I don't need to.
There was also the fake dinosaur fight. That's the other thing that I only remember because I just watched the trailer.
The birds?
Yeah.
Apparently those are real-ish. But in the movie, they were like, these are raptors that you reskinned.
Yes.
It's
a film.
So Camilla Bell.
Yeah, she was in Practical Magic.
Yes.
And we were like, doesn't she grow up to be someone?
And also the second Jurassic Park.
She is the girl that gets killed by the little dinosaurs at the beginning of The Lost World.
Yeah.
So a promising child actor.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've always wondered is why she wasn't a bigger actress. And I don't know, I still have theories about why. Like maybe she just wasn't interested anymore, or maybe she wasn't willing to play Hollywood's game, quote unquote. Because you don't see her a lot as an adult in films and stuff. I don't know, apparently she does like indie stuff now, but I did see her on a few episodes of Law & Order Organized Crime.
Okay.
With, Stabler. So anyway, as I'm like going down this rabbit hole, not watching this movie, it turns out she has some beef with your girl, Taylor Swift.
What?
And she is, it was even in a Taylor Swift song, like mentioned a Taylor Swift song. Okay. So mira, it was like this, like, I guess Camilla or Camille, she dated a Jonas, whatever Jonas brother that Taylor had dated.
Taylor dated a Jonas brother?
This is how
out of the loop I am on this stuff.
I don't know. This is all brand new to me, too. Like, I don't even know.
I'm on Wikipedia. Bell dated singer Joe Jonas from September 2008 to July 2009. They met filming the video Love Bug, in which she appears. She also briefly dated Tim Tebow.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay, so
there's a name I totally have not thought about in some time.
Right, seriously. So I guess Camilla, or quote unquote, stole this Jonas brother from Taylor. And so Taylor had made a nasty song about her called Better Than Revenge that, and I think it's a little harsh. Like, I forget what the actual, Sean, you might see it there, but it's like, she doesn't call her by name, but she's like, you know, she goes through this whole thing, but the worst lyric that I remember is, she's an actress, but she's better known for what she does on a mattress.
What? Yeah. Taylor. Yeah. Rude.
So she had to re-record the song and like the
Taylor's version stopped being mean.
Yeah, I got like no. Yeah, so like Taylor re-recorded the song without that line and removed something else. And
good
she,
for her.
And, you know, since she has grown, because I found a quote from Taylor saying that she you know, I was 18 when I wrote that and released it, and that was the time where I believed that somebody could steal a person from you, but I know now that. You know,
I really like that, actually.
Steal someone's boyfriend, blah, blah, blah.
And Taylor, good for you.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate the growth.
Yeah, now it's she's an actress. He was a moth to the flame. She was holding the matches.
Yeah.
Doesn't rhyme. Mattress was a better, scan better.
It was a sick burn.
Yeah. Well, good for Taylor for evolving.
Yes.
Good for Camilla for
not responding.
Dating well. I don't know.
She sure brings nothing to this film.
No.
And it is frustrating that it's like the chosen ones are the white people.
Yeah.
So she's white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's white.
Yeah.
He was in Boycraft.
Okay. Yeah. He's Stephen Strait plays Rain Delay. He I stopped trying to pretend and settled on Rain Delay Tic Tacs and
Rain Delay.
Who was the other one? Violet.
Her name was basically Violet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karen. Karen was the other guy.
I think her name maybe was Ebelet.
Yeah. So okay. Violet. He mostly does genre movies and genre series. He was in something called The Expanse on Sci-Fi for like five years.
Watch that. He's in The Covenant.
He is on Chicago Fire. So I guess he's the most successful.
He's in The Covenant.
The most successful member of The Covenant is obviously Academy Award nominee Sebastian Stan.
Sure, sure.
I guess he wasn't really in The Covenant. He was the bad guy. But he says weotch in that movie.
How about you let her go? And I let you live out your life.
How about I make you my weotch?
Like biatch, but... Mm-hmm. It's...
Oh, Sebastian.
I just want to go home. 10,000 BC was released March 7th of 2008, the 10th number one movie of that year. 35.8 million defeated College Road Trip, a movie where Martin Lawrence takes Raven Simone to look at colleges. It's a Disney family comedy.
Sure.
And The Bank Job, that's a lesser Jason Statham. They also came out. One weekend winner lost the following weekend to Horton Hears a Who, which, by the way, we have done an episode about.
That one.
59 and a third we gave Horton Hears a Who. It was fun.
I remember it being kind of cute.
It was fun.
It's a Cinco Paul joint.
$94.7 million, 31st for that year. See, Roland Emmerich just had a blank check. You can argue that he still does.
What has he been up to?
Moonfall.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Moonfall.
Which, the movie that said, I know the moon is falling, but we really need to go deeper than that. No! That's enough of an incident to keep me here for an hour and a half.
Right, seriously.
We don't need to bring the aliens and the ship and the cosmic... hey, look, you remember that moon? It's fallen. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
It's 10,000 BC. It's really all you need.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's going to be... Anyway, at this point, his four prior films were Independence Day, Godzilla, The Patriot, The Day After Tomorrow. Only Godzilla wasn't a big hit. Patriot was a giant hit for the amount of money that was spent on it. Mm. I've never seen that movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's exactly what you think it is.
Okay.
He also did Stargate.
Stargate was a hit.
This movie reminded me of Stargate, and this movie would have been much better if they just put it in fucking outer space.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it would be like, who fucking cares when iron was invented? This is outer space.
So after that run, and Day After Tomorrow, you know, it's kind of a mess, but it made a lot of money, and it was fun.
I didn't mind it, yeah.
It was too long, but it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So after that run, he could have done whatever he wanted, and he wanted this for some reason. Surprisingly, there's only a few of his films that are nomias, and Stargate is one of them. His only films on our list are Stargate, Independence Day, Godzilla, this, 2012, okay, I guess a lot, and Midway. I guess it's surprising that The Patriot was not, Day After Tomorrow was not, White House Down was not, the Independence Day sequel was not, which I've never seen.
Oh, it's awful.
I think I knew it would hurt me.
It's so bad.
I don't remember if I saw that or not.
Please don't. It is not worth your time.
Moonfall is also not a number one movie in America. This film was co-written with the composer of the film.
Really?
Harold Klauser, who is a working composer. Roland Emmerich thinks he is great at story. He is not, as evidenced by the fact that the only person to ever let him write is Roland Emmerich. He's the co-writer on this 2012 and Moonfall.
Goodness.
Yes,
gracious.
I think you can also say, as evidenced by the output.
Yeah.
Moonfall has a certain charm to it.
I think ChatGPT time travels now, because clearly it went back 20 years to write this movie. This feels so...
Because it's wrong all the time?
It's wrong all the time, and it says words that to a robot are... things that people say to advance a plot, but never sounds right.
Right.
If anything, I'm being unfair to ChatGPT. I think ChatGPT could write a better 10,000 BC than the script that happened.
Probably. Probably.
Every word they say is so stilted and weird and like, are you trying to do... what are you imitating? What do you want them to sound like?
Right. One of the things I was saying, this movie makes more sense if they have a TARDIS.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, why do they go from, like, what looks like Canada to what looks like Egypt on foot.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
And why are there so many different tribes of people who are so different in their level of technology and just way of living?
Within 12 miles of one another?
That seem to have never encountered each other before.
Only the bad guys are on horses, so they're covering what? 6 miles a day? 10 miles a day?
Yeah. Right. So they need it. There must be a TARDIS off screen.
This is a hot mess.
He made the conscious choice to reject known actors. He thought that would have broken the spell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He also rejected ancient languages because this is after Passion of the Christ. So I'm sure someone said, you know, we can do this in Aramaic or, you know, Sanskrit. Or he's like, no, have most of them speak English, and I'm going to hire someone to make up new dialects. All of these other tribes.
Actually, super cool. Again, I like this movie would be way better if it were in space. I'm totally okay with them making up languages. It was the English that really threw me off, like Camilla said.
Yeah, making up, yes. Fictitious language, whatever.
Go for it.
Absolutely, but yeah.
The history and the is this real is rough.
That would take the whole podcast.
The pyramid is showing up 8,000 years early.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot to just overlook.
By mammoths don't act like that. That is not the way that mammoths behave. And they were basically extinct by the time of this film. They were still around, but there were not vast mammoth herds in 10,000 BC. Right. Saber-toothed tigers were also basically extinct by this time. Even like proper civilizations like we see in the last 45 minutes of the movie wouldn't really be around for 6,000 or 7,000 years. So this is just like whatever the fuck you want. But if it's whatever the fuck you want, why didn't you put something interesting in it?
Yeah.
We talked about the actors. I will also just finally note that is indeed Omar Sharif narrating the film.
Oh, Academy Award nominee. Omar
this Sharif. Is his final American role or final English speaking role. He kept working elsewhere and lived until 2015. But, you know, that's I'm glad he was there. He was there at least to say things about what was happening every now and then, because nothing that happens in this really matters.
No, I never cared about anyone. I guess I vaguely cared about the saber-toothed tiger.
I was looking down when he freed the saber-toothed tiger. And so then when it didn't kill him later, I was like, oh, I think I missed something.
I was really excited that I thought maybe he was going to get a pet saber-toothed tiger because at this point he'd already fought a dinosaur. So like I was not expecting realism.
Right, right.
And I thought that might be cute.
Yeah, why not? He's off riding the saber-tooth.
Yeah.
Which otherwise, if we're going, like, why even bring it? Why even introduce the saber-tooth if we're not going to domesticate it?
Right.
And just, like, you know, you've had him save, they've had this, like, now they have a bond because one saved the other, and then the other's like, all right, fine, I'll save you back. But, like, it would be cool.
It would be cool. I would also accept if they dispatched a side character through that, if the side character saved the saber-tooth tiger, and the audience was like, oh, and then the saber-tooth tiger ate him. that would be fun.
That would have been fun to do. Who was the kid? Baka?
Sure.
Yeah, that kid that was following them around.
I was thinking, like, maybe Karen.
Yeah.
Karen could be a little bitch sometimes.
Why did you bother having them speak the English? Not to dwell on this point, if I can't understand what anyone ever says anyway. They're always kind of mumbling and doing
it's their way of acting. They're old
acting
timey.
They're acting caveman.
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm like, if I can't understand them anyway, I had to put the subtitles on. You might as well have made them say ooga booga and then
it's true though. It would have been a better movie if they said ooga booga.
And sprinkling in like phrases that sound like in the white rain. That snow is the white rain. This was in the era of chocolate rain too. Someone had to point out.
Another thing I found frustrating is the implication that there used to be more magic.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, what was true about 12,000 years ago? People were magic.
Well, I mean, according to the plot summary I read, the old lady gives her soul to Violet.
Yes, this is not something that used to happen.
Yeah, so like, the old lady, so because I got to say, by this point, I was absolutely no longer paying attention. So the old lady put her soul into Violet?
When Violet got killed by the guy.
Yeah, so Violet or Evelette dies, and then the old lady is like, I'm going to die now. And she is like, poof. Like, her, like, she like poofs out her soul, and then Evelette like puffs in the soul and wakes up.
Not that anyone should care about what this movie says about the human condition, but if there's any point, it is to somehow say, you know, our inherent humanity continues throughout time and aren't. Have you ever been to the Meadowcroft down to the south of the city?
No.
The rock shelter. It, I forget what county. Avella, Pennsylvania is the town, but towns are relative.
Yeah.
There's a historic site called Meadowcroft Rock Shelter, and they have some, you know, a historic village where you can watch a blacksmith and, you know, do all that stuff too. But they have this literal rock shelter, like little overhang, like an open cave, basically, that they've dated. This is a site of human habitation 35,000 years ago.
Wow.
And they're like, look, this is where we know that there was a campfire here, and we know, you know, rudimentary tools are over here. And that's, and you stand there and you look at it and you're picturing, you know, human beings 35,000 years ago, and it folds time in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opportunity that you have here.
Yeah.
Unless you have magic soul ladies and golden pyramids.
Exactly.
That then
it's so frustrating.
It ruins the only good thing this could do.
Yeah. You're so right.
Other than mammoth fights, which were undercut by this fucking Windows 95 ass looking shit graphics.
It also was basically Mufasa and the wildebeest, but bad.
So don't watch this movie. It's probably racist, but I couldn't be bothered to think hard enough about it to say why exactly. It just felt wrong.
The white people being the chosen ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And the savior coming to, it's like our tribe, which had better weapons and built cooler buildings than yours, needed a savior to come in.
But it was interesting, I guess, that like the central team was multi-ethnic, and then all of the tribes that they encounter later are much more homogenous. So
yeah, because it's the Fellowship of the
Ring.
Because it's just a fellow.
Damn it.
Dude, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
All
right, I'm done talking about this movie.
Wow, that's gotta be a record. Like 27 minutes.
I liked when the invader took his mask off. He looked like Steven Van Zandt. He had like a had a bandana, had kind of a glowering.
You're right.
That was good.
Little Stevie.
I watched this on, you know, my cable on demand, so fast forward may not be available during this program. Felt like a threat. Listen, buddy. You sure? You sure? You're pressing play on 10,000 BC.
I was like, I'm just letting you know. You're going to have to see this through to the end. Yes.
You can bail, but you can't shorten it at all. Also,
all or nothing, buddy.
At a certain point, I realized, like, this was one where it broke for commercials. It was like the on-demand kind. And I was like, oh, but the time that it's running includes the commercials, and it doesn't feel like that has enough time for the whole runtime that I know this movie is. Did they cut some? You know what? Good. I don't. If I happened upon a version of this, it did that cable TV thing where the credits were 1 second long.
Oh, I do that. I hate that.
It's so annoying.
It's not, it's disrespectful. Yeah. I only hung around to the end because I wanted to know if the Almighty was real tall or just had a really big hat.
And?
Kind of both. But I never, they never really showed the Almighty's face.
No.
But there's definitely headgear.
Yeah.
Listen, like, if you're one of those people that I kept seeing online and in the fucking YouTube comments, like, this was a great movie. I mean, God bless you. I'm happy for your life.
I can see me, if I were 8 and had not seen a lot of movies, I could see myself finding this really exciting.
If you came out of a cave or pit, some kind of Kimmy Schmidt scenario.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. And this is all you had.
Right. I can see this movie being entertaining if you have never seen another movie.
I started by looking up what I gave Norbit and saying, this is better than Norbit. But then when they fake killed Violet and brought her back, I was like, you know what? This is one worse than Norbit.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow.
11. I gave it an 11.
Yikes. Damn it. I lost my thing. Robin?
I'm giving it a 10.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. We're
mostly aligned.
One for each 1000 BC.
I will...
It's not a year. The BC stands for bad choices.
Be careful. I guess I'm just going to give it a 14 because I gave Apocalypto 15. So I'm going to give this 14. All right.
No,
Apocalypto had some cool shots in it.
All right.
11 and 2/3 is the score. How does that stack up in our overall list? We just did this. Because of CC and Company was way down there. This is in our bottom five.
Okay.
I'd have to go to the chart to see which wins the tiebreaker. This is the same score we gave Transformers Age of Extinction. So this is either our fourth from the bottom or our fifth. This is way down there. CC and Company was worse. We hate this. To the bingo card.
Anything?
Title contains unit of time.
Yes.
Is it?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a year.
Okay.
BC.
Sign language?
10,000 years BC.
Yes.
Did anyone talk in sign language?
I don't know if there was sign language. I feel like there wasn't.
Can the spiky tiger pit be a claustrophobic space?
Yes.
Then bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All Yay! Right.
Yes. I got a veto back.
So we have a veto because we didn't have a veto on the table before this. Also.
No, Camila still has one.
She used it.
Oh.
That's how we ended
right
here.
We have a veto on the table, but you can't use it the same week you get it. So there's none in play.
Oh, boy.
None in
You're
play
right
for today. We'll find out if Tony wants to keep punishing us for not talking about him enough. We don't, you know. Like I said, first 100 episodes, we're very Tony Goldwyn focused.
Yeah.
Lately, we have not been paying him enough respect.
Tony, so. I said you were hot in Nixon.
Yeah, you did bring that up.
Right?
Yeah.
You were hot in Nixon.
I tried to make all three of us go see Plane together.
Yeah.
It's not the show's fault that Camila did not show up. It's only Camila's fault.
Got it. My
Wasn't
bad.
Wasn't that actually childcare issues?
Yes, probably. Yeah, the two childless people here can
we
go,
were
see
able to
Plane
go see
on
a
Thursday.
Don't even get me started.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's time for...
Oh, please be something good.
You can't handle the truth. We're not dry. You would think we're already dry. Yeah. It's hot up here. Remember the second half of our show where we...
So it's forgot.
Talk about... I'll let you go ahead and go first because Robin and I are just going to mutter angrily for 23 minutes.
About what, Superman? Or did you guys already talk about that last week?
No.
No, we're still going to talk about Superman.
I don't think we're going to be muttering angrily about Superman.
No, we're going to be muttering angrily about Eddington.
Yes.
The Luckiest Man in America.
What's that?
It is a movie about, apparently, you guys remember that game show, Press Your Luck, No Whammies?
Oh, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, apparently some dude gamed the system and like won big
on
that show
cool.
by memorizing the patterns of the blinking lights and all that stuff and just like killed it. Was like this game just went on for like 2 days. This is the story of that man, and it's Paul
Walter Hauser.
Thank you.
Oh, I mm-hmm. love him.
And then Walton, he plays the guy, and then Walton Goggins is playing the game show host.
Oh, fun.
Occasional professional wrestler, Paul Walter Hauser.
That's right.
When I announced a show in Indianapolis, they were trying to get me to stay and announce the next show, but my aunt and uncle were there and they wanted to take me out to dinner. And had I stayed, I would have announced a Paul Walter Hauser match.
Man.
Yeah.
So close.
Yeah. But the movie.
The movie is more of it's kind of bland. It's, mm-hmm. it's kind of a bland movie, but it is interesting to watch Paul, as always, in this character, as well as Walton. Like he's just, you know, charismatic to watch him do anything. So it's just like, I feel like the story, there was a lot of plot points that were made and never carried out any further, never mentioned again. It's like, okay. Like at one point they mentioned that his ex-wife had a restraining order against him.
Oh dear.
And like, we just kind of blew past that. Anybody want to talk about why?
Yeah.
And so
that's
yeah.
kind of, that's frustrating.
This is a loaded cast. Walton Goggins, David Strathairn, Maisie Williams.
Yeah, like it's a really good cast and everybody did well with what they had. It's just if you go into it wanting anything more than a character study, then you're kind of going to be let down.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept my attention for the whole way, and it was at night I watched it.
Like,
after 8 p.m. I started this film and completed it.
Wow.
I know.
High praise.
I know. So it is a decent enough watch. That's it.
Yeah, that sounds worth my time.
Yeah.
Last week, Robin and I left here and went to see Eddington, and it's
for people who don't know, this is Ari Aster's COVID movie. It is a small town in New Mexico in late May, early June 2020, everyone's favorite time.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm.
And it's begins with a lot of fighting about wearing masks, and then gets into some Black Lives Matter stuff and some QAnon stuff. And I think Ari Aster might think Antifa's real.
this is the point of Robin and I disagree on this. Okay. I think that at a certain point he was going to the fantasy world, because literally, like, Antifa flies in on a private jet. And it's like,
and conducts elaborate assassinations of a small town sheriff department.
And so, it's like, well, that can't be real. Robin just thinks this guy thinks it's real. I'm like, no,
but
I think
everything
he was,
else is real.
But it's an indictment of the movie that we're having this disagreement.
Agreed.
If we can't tell what reality is in this world, right. You didn't do a good job.
Yeah. And it has its moments, like there. It is kind of funny sometimes.
Joaquin Phoenix and Pedro Pascal are very, very good, especially in the early going when it's still in, when it could be a Coen Brothers movie.
Right.
They're good.
Yeah. It goes so far off the rails, and it's also 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Which just is not necessary.
I'm worried about him now.
Ari?
Yeah. Because.
You think he squeezed out all the juice?
No, I think he is high on his own farts. I think Hereditary was so good.
Yeah.
And he got so much praise for it. And Midsommar was almost that good. And that he got into the, like, aha, I am a genius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bo is Afraid was pretty good, but no one was really not fun, was really not enjoyable to watch. And this is just as not enjoyable without being good.
Yeah.
So I think he thinks he's got so much to say. And it's
the,
like,
things he has to say are really icky, though. Like, one of the things that has really stuck in my craw about this movie is that I really think he thinks the worst thing that happened about George Floyd's murder is that some white teenagers were annoying.
Yeah, this is the charitable interpretation, which is also a criticism, is that this is that South Park kind of everyone was bullshit that year argument. And it's like, even as much as that's true, even as much as, yeah, there were ways in which all of our behavior was weird and annoying and shitty, that's not, like, fucking, yeah, we were going through the biggest pandemic that and a reckoning with social justice. A lot of shit happened.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure I'm sure we were all weird and annoying about it, and everyone overreacted in a weird way. That's not an argument. You're just pointing out the obvious reality of something wild happened.
And also, it was 5 years ago, so it's not like he's, like, holding up a mirror to the past, you know?
Right.
Like,
it's,
we remember.
Motherfucker, wounds are still healing.
Yes.
Like, we're still trying to,
or getting torn back open. Right. Let's be real.
Right.
Anyway, terrible movie.
Very, very bad.
That's upsetting.
But then you immediately went into Superman.
I mean, they went to Superman and I felt better. It's it's really good. It's the best Superman movie since the last one that was just called Superman. Maybe that's the key.
Wasn't it called Superman the movie?
It might have been.
Yeah.
It was the last one, Henry Cavill.
It's better than all of those. Admittedly, I never saw the Brandon Routh one.
It's not good.
But it's a fun, charming movie about a fun, charming Superman and Lois Lane.
Yeah.
They're not dark. They're not brooding. We're not meditating on the narrative purpose of superheroes in our, we're just having a fucking fun Superman time for once.
All right.
And I really liked that. You know, I love starting, this is one of those rare times when it's like, you already know who Superman is. You already know who Lex Luthor is. We don't have to explain
that opening
to you.
Crawl is so dope. That is a dopening, as Colin and I like to say.
And so we just have a Superman movie with, it has a couple other characters, but it's not overloaded with, you know, we're setting this up. It just has a little bit of other folks in it. And
Mr. Terrific
is wonderful addition. So was Hot Girl. Crypto is the breakout star, obviously. I saw in, it's not, what's the one that's not Good Morning America? ABC World? No. What's the morning on ABC?
I don't know.
Today? Is it today?
Sure. No,
today's on NBC.
Whatever I was watching, Google searches.
Morning, bitches.
Google searches for adopt a dog have increased 500% since the movie came out. Crypto has won the hearts of America.
Oh boy.
I'm all in. Hilarious. I'm all in on this, with the exception of saying, when I say I'm all in on this, I loved it. I will probably see it again. It's not going to be my life now. Okay. I'm going to think about this every day. It's right. Like, what a great time I had. Mm. Moving on. Right. You know, it's not changing the world, but I really liked it. I'm getting the impression you are slightly cooler on it.
Oh, I'm definitely way, way, way cooler on it. Okay. I liked it, though. And it's interesting you point out that you're like, it's not going to become my personality, because this is the kind of movie where I left it going, that was pretty good. 3 stars. And I feel like a hater. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The reason that I'm only at 3 stars, I did find it a little bit pretentious sometimes. I wish, like, there's like a fake Palestine situation in this, and I'm like, no, please don't do this. You can't do this. I didn't like that.
I guess.
And
I mean, I'm not going to deny your reading. I did not get Israel and Palestine from that.
You know that a lot of people have, right? Like, I'm not.
Oh no, I'm not saying Robin, you're doing that internet social justice thing. I'm not saying that. I know that's a thing.
Get ready. I'm about to do it. This movie's gross about women. This movie is gross about women. The non-Lois women, with possible exception of Hot Girl, but Hot Girl also, spoilers, I'm going to bleep this, they're all presented as someone who I imagine that much of the audience is going, that dumb bitch. And I don't like that. That makes me unhappy. And I saw it with my friend Jennifer, and she's like, well, Supergirl's like that in the comics. And I'm like, bullshit. In the comics, Supergirl flies around with her pet cat Streaky. And Jennifer was like, wrong comics. And I was like, I hate this. I hate this conversation. Get me out of this room. Yeah. So those were the things that kind of made me go like, ugh. And then, yeah, that's really it. That's why I was just at, I liked this movie. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't like dogs. So I guess I'm like the wrong audience for the most pro-dog movie in the history of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I get is you're going to be somewhere in between, I liked it, and that was really fun, which is the range, I think.
I think I both liked it and thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
But I'm also but I have reservations and notes, which... Right. Apparently makes me very unhappy compared to everyone else.
With the movie,
also, I guess, just as a human being.
Yeah. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up for caring about things and representation matters. And yes.
Sure.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Can I talk about some movies I did like?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I saw Oh Hi yesterday, which is a movie where Molly Gordon is at an Airbnb with a person who she thinks is her boyfriend, played by Logan Lerman. And then he's like, oh, I'm actually not really looking for a serious relationship, while they're there. And he's tied to the bed and she doesn't untie him.
Love that.
It is very funny and charming and 90 minutes long. So I do recommend that movie. It was a good time. And then I also watched Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight.
What?
Think I've heard of this.
So it was a pretty famous memoir, and this is an adaptation by M. Beth Davids, who our bisexual millennial listeners will know as Miss Honey from Matilda. And I felt like I had to watch it because I am a white lady who lived in South Africa. This is set in Zimbabwe, about a white family in Zimbabwe at the time that Zimbabwe was becoming Zimbabwe. And it's basically this little girl realizing her family are the bad guys. I overall do not recommend this movie. I think it's a little bit overwrought and like obviously is centering white people in this story very fundamentally. Like there's no getting around that.
Right.
But I also found it like extremely compelling because of my life history. And it's also really good looking. It's a very beautifully shot movie. So if you are interested in it, I'm not going to say like it's bad, don't watch it, but I'm definitely not telling people to look out for it if they don't. You might want to watch it, Sean, though, because the little girl really is phenomenal.
And it's a possible Critics' Choice Young Performer Award.
Like, I honestly think that like it's one of the best young performances I've seen since like Beasts of the Southern Wild.
I felt like there was already a knockout one this year. 28 years later, he's still haven't. You gotta.
Come over and babysit.
Okay. On the one hand, it does look great. On the other hand, like, yeah, but you can wait for... It's not Top Gun.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's gonna be in a couple weeks.
I have a question about the zombie dong. Mm-hmm. So they're all uncircumcised?
Yeah.
Interesting.
These are second generation zombies.
Right.
What
okay.
do you this, mean second generation?
Zombies film, got it on and had baby zombies.
Shut the fuck up.
There's a zombie birth scene in this movie.
No.
Do you think they don't?
I don't want to.
They're not. Remember, they're not literal zombies. They're humans with a virus in this series, so they can still fucking have babies. How would we get to 28 years later if there weren't new? They'd all be 60.
I think my concern, it's like that shouldn't have. I don't know. I mean, I guess what is it? Are we just saying like human nature? That's just what it is. That's just how it.
Yeah.
It's not about attraction and pleasure.
No, they're not. They're not going out to dinner. They're lying there in the dirt.
But how could anything be alive? All right. Walk away, Camila.
Yeah.
Walk away. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they will explain the science of it all to me, or the theory behind it.
Certainly the biology. it's watch it and report back.
Oh, I also watched In the Lost Lands on Hulu. Ridiculous. Barely a movie, but I enjoyed it a lot.
Which one's that?
It is Mila Jovovich and Dave Bautista, and it's based on a George R. R. Martin story, which does actually end up having some merit to it. Like, there is a really cute Gift of the Magi kind of business, so yeah. Like, you could tell somebody intelligent was involved at some point, and it's just very ambitious and made for 8 cents, and you can tell, and I enjoyed it.
Made for 8 cents.
Really, the only other new to me that I watched in the past week was Village of the Damned from 1960.
You know, I'm not sure I've ever seen that.
It's great. It's so much creepier, and it's so much scarier than most, like, this black and white movie is in a British town where something unusual is happening.
Yes.
That's usually, like, enjoyable but not scary. These kids are scary.
Yeah, oh, kids are scary.
Yeah,
especially British ones.
Oh yeah,
something just not right.
I've now seen these in the reverse order. I'm pretty sure I saw the remake with Christopher Reeve and Kirstie Alley.
Yeah,
then I saw the sequel to this movie, Children of the Damned. Now I've finally seen the original, but okay. That is a good time. Also, I watched Back to the Future. I don't feel like I need to tell anyone that that's good.
You haven't? That was the first time?
Oh, no. Okay. I just happened to watch Back to the Future this weekend. You. Okay. I've never seen part three.
Well, you should watch it.
We're going to try to, especially since I'm in my Western era.
Yeah.
I need to get to part three.
Yeah, Sunday was Jeff Goldblum Day, and I...
Oh, wonderful.
Celebrated by watching Jurassic Park and Hotel Artemis.
Oh,
excellent. Yeah. Oh, I have a podcast recommendation.
Please.
It is a show called Box Office Gross. And it is people looking at the top 50 grossing movies of the year 2005. So it's a little different from our show because they're not all nomias. Some of them are actually pretty small movies, but they at least have, you know, some people went to see these movies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they really look at the, like, does anyone still care about this movie 20 years later as part of the show, which I find so fascinating. And one of the hosts is from Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think that I found this show because I followed like a Pittsburgh movie people starter pack on Blue Sky. And they did an episode about Sahara, which, as you'll recall, I picked for us to do. So I was like, well, I have to go listen to this. And I was like, good show. Going to keep listening to it.
I would also like to throw in a podcast recommendation.
Yay! Yeah, let's do a little mini segment.
I was just like enthralled by this one. And it's just like, it's a small, like, I think it's a 7-8 parter, but it's called Flesh and Code. And it is about people who have fallen in love with their replicas. Apparently this is a thing of like, you're like a chat GPT type. You download this app, you make a person and you quote unquote, and then you just like converse with this person.
Oh no.
Yeah. But that's not like the beginning and end of it all. There's like a bunch of more nefarious bullshit happens. Like they talk to like these certain couple people.
Is this going to make me hate AI even more?
Probably.
Okay.
And then I thought you were already at 10 on
that. Yeah, no. Go to 14.
Yeah, exactly. And then we talked to a couple scientists about like how AI works and like how the predictive generative, you know, whatever, what is it, whatever, text happens, and like how pretty much, you know, how it's going to basically fuck us up even more so the more we use it, and blah 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 blah. So I would highly suggest that. And the big, funny, hilarious thing to me was that one of the complaints was like, you know, oh, I was talking to my little AI girlfriend or whatever. And I was like, good night, Lily Rose. And she was like, good night, Daniel Todd. And I'm like, who the fuck is Daniel Todd? Like, dude's name is Luca or something like that. And then other, you know, he went on the Reddit forums and a bunch of other people were like, yeah, Daniel Todd, who is that? That's my husband's name. That's Dan's first and middle
name.
What? Yes.
Your husband is the secret Caligula for all of the AI girlfriends?
Yeah, apparently, yes.
There's a garage out back. He just sits there.
So I was like, you know, I was like, hey, Dan, you want to tell me something? Like, you know, Dan can barely work the remote control. He's not. He's not. He's not fucking
amazing.
Much, yes.
I want to at least give a shout out then to Cinema Psychos is a show in Pittsburgh, and Brian Coddington joined the Pittsburgh Film Critics, or was welcomed into the Pittsburgh Film Critics Association this week. So good to have other podcasters on the network. Check out Cinema Psychos, and if you listen to the Dead Meat podcast, they are in the midst of Hot Saw Summer. they just an episode on each Saw movie.
Nice.
They had to start spacing it out because it sounded like Hot Sauce Summer,
which also I would be also interested good. In listening
I would be into a Hot Sauce Summer.
And that's how I learned this. You might have seen this going around, like, you know, Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts and everything. Saw 2, they meticulously recreated, you know, the basement. They made sure that it looked exactly
right.
Every detail was identical. The set was gone, so they had painstaking recreation.
Yeah.
Saw 3, they said fuck it and used the Saw set that Scary Movie 4 had just built. They were like, you know, they do good work over
it's
there.
Right there.
Oh, it looks pretty good, and it's already there. So
that is wonderful.
Let's draw a movie. We will follow up 10,000 BC with Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, I've never seen that.
2009.
I've never seen it either.
That was
Spike Jones.
Spike Jones. Yeah. It's notably interesting. I remember watching it, and it's notably like big choices that you're not sure why, but they sure are big. Yeah, I don't remember where I fell on it, so I'll be happy to.
That's going
to
be cool. Cool episode. I'm excited about that. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
Let's make sure it's available.
It's on HBO Max.
All right.
Even better.
I never even read the book. Like,
well, not hard to find. You can go to your local library. It's printed on the walls at your local library.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll just watch the movies.
I missed Letterboxd. That is movies that would be better with Godzilla. Boy, would. I think it was a bit. I think pretty much all movies were on the list. I think that was the joke, but it really applies here.
Yeah.
An hour in, Godzilla shows up. That's that was March 7th, 2008, when 10,000 BC briefly fooled some people out of some money. What was the number one song in America?
Rihanna.
No.
What month was it? March?
March of 2008.
Fergie?
No. We're only going a year forward. Where the Wild Things Are was 2009. That's Alicia, when there are the most
Alicia Keys.
That's when there are the most number one movies. Nope. All sharing the radio dial. This could come on next after any of those.
Hey,
Katy Perry.
No,
Kelly Clarkson.
I wonder if we had this already, since we had Horton Hears a Who, and that was the next week. We've got a somebody featuring somebody.
Nelly Furtado.
I apologize.
What's that?
Apologize, Timberland.
I thought you were apologizing for something. Like, you
didn't. I apologize.
It's not that. I see this guy's name, and I'm like, I wonder what other states can be split up into names.
Flo-rida.
Yeah,
that's, and two.
Does that Kesha? Work? With, does, how do we not have an Alabama yet? No, not with Kesha.
Oh,
with,
because she wasn't credited. That's where their dollar sign came from.
Right. I just think of as a Flo Rida song. I did not realize that T-Pain is on this song.
Is that the Apple Bottom Jeans?
Yeah.
Boots? Low.
Yeah. Low by Flo Rida,
you know,
featuring
what?
T-Pain.
Undeniable song.
Right. I'm just hearing it in my head and I can't stop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I've only ever seen Apple Bottom Jeans once in real life. It's somewhere around that time I saw someone wearing jeans. And she had a big butt, and there was it said Apple Bottom on her butt, and I was like, "Oh, that's what those are." Didn't know if it was a description or a brand or a. Mm-hmm. Yeah.